Let's just commence, please, with a wee word of prayer, commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this evening, and in through our Saviour's precious and all-worthy name, we thank Thee, O God, for Your goodness to us. We thank the Lord for Your mercy that finds us in the house of God on this, the evening of Thine own day. Come amongst us, we pray. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, we ask. And Lord, that this night we might be very conscious that God is here and not to bless us. So be with us, we pray, this evening. And Lord, we pray You'll move. And Lord, this night that we might know that the Lord is here and not to bless us. So be with us and continue with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn, words of an old gospel hymn that we've been singing recently. I heard an old story of the Saviour came from glory. The words, victory in Jesus, we'll stand together. The words will be on the screen as we stand together to sing, please. This evening, as we open in prayer, we come not only to give thanks for His goodness to us in this day already, but also to give goodness to the Lord in the week that has passed. We've had our week of prayer, and we certainly have known the Lord's blessing and presence with us. The Lord has been amongst us this week, and as a session, we want to publicly thank the Lord for that and for his goodness toward us as a congregation. And I'm going to ask one of our elders, our brother Derek Graham, to come and to lead us in prayer this evening. Pray for this meeting, but also to give thanks for the Lord for being with us this week. Thank you, Derek.
Let's pray. Our gracious Father and our eternal God, as we would continue on in thy presence, we would approach thy throne of grace in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would do thank thee for this, the resurrection day. We praise thee, Father, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has loved his people, that he went to Calvary to purchase redemption there in our behalf. And we're so thankful tonight for our standing in the beloved. We praise thee, Lord, for the everlasting love of God upon our souls. And we praise thee, O God, this evening, that we are in Christ, and Lord, that we've been bought with a price. And Lord, we realize it cost the Father dear to purchase redemption on our behalf because he punished the Son on Calvary's tree. And Father, we are a most privileged people because the Lord sought us, even as we've been singing, and he bought us. And we realize tonight that the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. And Father, we want to return thee thanks. Those of us who know and love thee as our Savior, we want to return thee thanks tonight for thy so great salvation, for that moment in our lives when thou didst draw us from darkness into thy marvelous light. And we're so thankful that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ has shone a bright in our souls tonight. And we do pray, Lord, that thou indeed will bless this service. We pray for thy servant as he ministers the word. We pray that you'll fill him with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And grant, O Father, that there will be signs following the ministry of thy word this evening, that each one of us will hear the speaking voice of the Lord. And as thy word is proclaimed, Lord, that thou would bless, and Lord, that thou indeed would bless thy word abundantly. If there's any gathered in tonight and they know not Christ as Savior, we pray that thou will draw them, Lord, to thyself, that salvation would visit this congregation this evening, and we would see the arm of the Lord made bare. We do pray, Lord, for Charlotte as she sings. We pray, Lord, as she give her help, Lord, we ask of thee, thank you for her. Thank the Lord for the talents that thou hast given her. And thank the Lord that she's using those talents for the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou will abundantly bless her in her young life. And Lord, in the days ahead, that thou would lead her and guide her in the way that thou would have her to go. And Lord, we're thankful for every young person. We thank thee even, Lord, for the week of prayer for those young people who prayed, Lord, even last Lord's evening particularly. And want to return thee thanks for this. We're glad, Lord, those young people that thou hast saved and redeemed and going on with the Lord and have a desire to serve thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou indeed would help us all in these days to serve our Savior. Lord, we look to thee, Father, for everywhere where thy word will be faithfully proclaimed this evening, that thou will bless the ministry of thy word. And Lord, that thou would fill every servant with the power of God. Lord, we do pray for everything that will be said and done in this service this evening. We pray, Lord, that thou indeed would, Lord, bless it. We think of those tonight who are laying aside the beds of sickness, particularly think of Laura tonight. We pray that thou will continue to be with her, continue to heal her, Lord, and Lord, that very soon that thou will be back to full health and strength again. Thou art able to do this, Lord, and we're thankful that we're coming to the God who heals the body. And we do pray for others who at this time are laid aside in beds of sickness, that thou will touch each and every one of them. And we just look to thee tonight. Lord, we have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior. Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will come and move within this gathering tonight. And Lord, that thy Holy Spirit will come and move within this land. And we pray, Lord, while sin abounds on every side, we're thankful grace did much more abound. And we do pray, Lord, that thou will have thine own way today. And Lord, that thou will bless all of our hearts. Empty us all of self. Empty me of self. Lord, that we can be usable for our God. And grant, O Father, that to this evening, in this gathering, that above all, that thy name will be exalted and glorified, because thou art worthy of all the honour and all the glory. We pray this in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.
To Derek this evening for coming and for opening the prayer.
prayer. We are delighted to welcome Charlotte back, and Mum and Dad as well. Glad to have you all with us tonight. Charlotte, we've been blessed by your ministry in the past. We're looking forward to you. We're going to ask you to come and sing for us. The Lord richly bless you. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for having me here to sing tonight. And the first piece I'm going to sing is When I Survey. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, man.
Charlotte, thank you so much. We've been lifted in the heavenlies today, this morning, and again this evening.
I don't think the singing in heaven will be any better than that. Thank you. Thank you. That was a blessing, and we appreciate
your ministry in song this evening. We'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time as well. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this evening to the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. The only problem is, whenever we have all these good singers, you wish you could sing like that. But someday we'll be able to sing as well, with a beat in our heart and a drum in our ear and all the rest of it. But maybe we just don't have the most, well, I don't have the most melodious voice at the best of times. But someday we'll be singing like all these great singers when we get to glory. Exodus chapter 32, please. Exodus chapter 32. We We're going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter, please. Exodus chapter 32 and the verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it. And they sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. At this stage, we bid you all a warm, sincere, genuine word of welcome in the Saviour's name. We're glad to see you this evening in the house of God. We pray the Lord will bless us and meet with us tonight as we come to this gospel service. We're glad to see you all. To those who are visiting with us, we welcome you as well in the Saviour's name. While many are unwell at this time in the congregation, we're glad to see you come along this evening. So welcome to all in our Saviour's name. Again, as a session committee and congregation, we want to extend our sympathies to our dear sister, Mrs. Helen Bailey, on the death of Helen's brother. And we pray that Helen will know the grace of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, even in these days of sorrow. And also to Deborah and to James, to Johnny and to Amy and their wider family circle. This Tuesday night sees the recommencement of our Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls here in the church at 7 p.m. Then on Thursday night, we have our Bible study, and we will be looking this Thursday night at the subject of Is the Age of Revival Over? There are many tonight who are very defeatist, very pessimistic about the future, and we want to look then at the subject, Is the Age of Revival Over? We can preach about revival, we can pray for revival, but is it all in vain? And so we want to look at this subject on Thursday evening. And then we'll have the Lord's table immediately afterwards on Thursday night as well. We'll also be receiving in another new member into our congregation. On the Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, the 23rd of January, 10:15 in the morning, it's our Sunday school and our Bible class. 11 a.m. our prayer time, 11:30 morning service. And then at 2:30, that is the Sunday school over in Hollywood in the Redburn Community Centre. Then at 6 o'clock we meet for prayer again, followed by our gospel service at 6:30. I'll be here to preach, God willing, at both those services, and Our sister Natasha Atchison will be here to sing. The Missionary Council retiring offering last Lord's Day came to £347, and thank you for your giving to the cause of the Missionary Council. Do continue to remember all who are unwell in the congregation at this time. Many are afflicted and are unwell, not able to be with us, and so do remember them all in your prayers. Do remember Laura, she is in hospital. Pray the Lord will strengthen her, and that very soon she'll be able to be back home again. There are still copies of the Vision magazine available, and also our own church magazine, the Sandown Herald, and the motto text cards are available. And also, this evening has just come in the latest edition of the LTBS magazine. If you haven't got one on your way in, please do get one on your way out. They're all free of charge. Good to see your sister Molly out with us tonight. This sadly will be the last Sunday evening that she will be with us. As we said this morning, she will at the end of this week, God willing, be moving up to Ballymoney and to stay with her son and daughter-in-law there. But we will say more about that on Thursday night, and we'll leave it for that. And I know you will all want to be here on Thursday night. Molly is a part of the furniture in Sandown, and we will dearly, dearly miss her. And so we want to just recognize that in some little way on Thursday evening. So I trust you'll be here and you will encourage even Molly as we say farewell to her. Do remember there are no offerings being taken up at this stage, but the offering boxes are available there for you as you leave. We're going to ask Charlotte to come again and sing for us. And as you do so, may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you.
Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus.
again, our thanks to Charlotte for coming, singing for us so beautifully. And may all of our eyes tonight be turned to the Saviour. Thank you so much in the Saviour's name for being with us and for your help tonight. We certainly do appreciate it. Can you turn with me, please, again to the book of Exodus in the chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32. I want to speak this evening on the subject of the rule breakers.
Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, perhaps just to change our positions, we could stand for a moment of prayer, just to change your position if you can. Let's stand for prayer before preaching. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee already for a sense of Thy presence tonight. We thank the Lord for help given to Charlotte as she has ministered to us in song. We thank the Lord that our hearts have been thrilled and blessed. We ask, O God, that even all of our eyes tonight would be turned to Jesus. O God, we pray that we might see Thee afresh. Father, we pray that You'll turn the eyes, Lord, of those who are still darkened, Lord, bound in their sin. We pray, Lord, You'll turn them to Christ tonight. And Lord, open the hearts and open the eyes of we, Thine own people, to behold afresh the beauty and the loveliness of Christ. O God, we pray that You'll come. Give us help tonight. Lord, speak to those who are out of Christ. May this, Lord, be a meeting when Christ, Lord, will come and save souls. May this be a meeting, Lord, when Christ will come and build up each one in their faith. So answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So this week we have been confronted with those who make the rules in our country being the very same ones who actually are breaking the rules. While the rest of us were abiding by the rules during the first lockdown, churches were closed, we were separated from our friends and family, our economy was shut down, our hospitals were closed, grieving loved ones couldn't get to see their loved ones who were unwell and on their deathbed. And yet all the time, those who made those very same rules were breaking the rules that they set and legislated for us. Of course, we are all aware of that, even in our own province, when we were told we couldn't go to funerals, limited only to 30 people, and yet those who made those rules very openly and publicly broke them as well. Rule breakers, they're all around us. Tonight, I want us to consider another group of rule breakers. Because here in Exodus chapter 32, there are those who broke the rules of God. In Exodus chapter 2, we have perhaps one of the saddest accounts of the events and the experiences in the life of the children of Israel. God, just a few weeks previous, had given to them the rules on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, the moral compass, the law of God, which was to govern and to regulate lives. Now Moses, their prophet, their leader, their representative, he was back on Mount Sinai again. He was talking with God. He was in communion with God. He was waiting on God, speaking to God. And yet the very same people to whom he ministered were down at the bottom of that mountain, breaking the rules that they had just received. But you see, folks, tonight the reality is that we are all rule breakers. We're all law breakers. Because of sin, we have broken the law of God. We've all broken the rules. But here in Exodus chapter 32, there is a very clear, very open, very public demonstration of breaking God's rules. And as we see tonight, and as I trust we will see tonight, breaking the law of God is not a light thing. Breaking the rules is not something to be laughed at. It's hard to know what will become of our Prime Minister. I mean, those who are calling for his resignation are hardly angels, are they? But tonight, as we look into this account here in Exodus 32, we will see that breaking the law of God has severe consequences. It is something which is not to be taken lightly, because breaking God's law is sin. And this evening in the gospel, we want to look at the subject of the rule breakers. For we are all rule breakers. We are all law breakers in the sight of God. The first thing I want you to notice here with me is the idolatry of the people. The idolatry of the people. Look at verse number 1, Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, and the people gathered themselves up together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. Up, make us gods which shall go before us. Now remember that this is only, as I've said, a short time after that they were given the summary of the law of God in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. But here are the people breaking God's law already and reverting to idolatry. They wanted other gods rather than the true and the living God. Notice some things about this idolatry. Notice that it is a denial of God. Notice what they say in verse number 1, Up, make us gods. You see, whenever they uttered that request, essentially they were denying the reality, the necessity, and even the singularity of God. They denied that God was the true, the living, the only God. They denied that he was who he claimed to be, God and God alone. They scoffed at God. They laughed at God. They denied God. And you know, isn't that true of mankind by nature? Isn't that true of the sinner? You see, tonight, if you're here in this meeting without Christ, you are denying God. You are scoffing God. You are saying that God doesn't really exist. What these people were saying was that the rules of God, the law of God, don't really apply to me. God's not going to tell me how to live my life. God's not going to dictate to me how I should or shouldn't live. And the sinner this evening is laughing at God, scoffing at God. You see, these people believed that God's word counted for nothing. So they denied God. This world tonight is full of such people, scoffing God, scoffing the gospel of God, scoffing the reality of God. You say there is a God. Well, where is your God? Where is your God when things happen across this world? Where is this God that you say he's coming? He's been coming now for a long time, but he hasn't come yet. And as they said to the psalmist, the heathen say now, where is now thy God? During calamities, during catastrophes, during crises, where is your God? And it is said in such a way that they deny God and they don't want anything to do with God. You see, these people in Exodus 32 really essentially were saying, I don't want anything to do with God now. Up, make us gods. They turned their back on God. They turned away from the true and the living God. They had committed idolatry. And you see tonight, every sinner born into this world, we are all idol worshippers. Until that point when the Holy Spirit works within us, we are all idolaters. And this country, this province tonight is full of idol worshippers as well. We may not be bowing down before gods of wood or stone, but we have self-righteous idols, we have earthly idols, we have moral idols, we have religious idols. Everything that we think is more important than God. Every sinner has their idol. Every unsaved person in this meeting tonight, you have an idol. Something which to you is more important than God. It may be a family member, a wife, or a husband, and they're more important to you than God. It may be a hobby. Maybe a habit, but it's all more important to you than God. This idolatry, it was a denial of God. But I want you to see as well that this idolatry was disobedience towards God. Verse 1 again, Up, make us gods. make us gods. This was clear disobedience to the revealed word of God. You see, this was rebellion against the law and the light of the word of God. God had just said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above and the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth." It was clear, that was unmistakable. It was plain. And therefore, this disobedience, this idolatry, was inexcusable. They couldn't say, "Well, Lord, I just didn't understand what you were saying." These people were left without excuse for their disobedience to the word of God. And sinner, tonight you are left without excuse of your disobedience to God. Scripture is clear and plain on the reality of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Scripture is clear and plain on the remedy for sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from sin. And yet you've disobeyed the plain, revealed word of God. As we read through Exodus chapter 32, you'll see that this sin just got worse and worse. We don't have time to look at it, but sin just bred sin. You break one commandment, then very quickly, very easily, you'll break another. How long have you lived in sin? How long have you disobeyed the gospel of Christ, which calls you to be saved, to abandon your sin and to get to Christ? How long have you disobeyed the gospel? Is it not time tonight that you believe the gospel? The simple, plain teaching of the gospel. Turn from sin, repent, and believe the gospel. How simpler could it be? And the problem tonight, and I have spoken on this on occasions past, the problem tonight that I believe there is in the evangelical church is we have complicated the gospel. We need to get back to the plain, simple preaching of the gospel. God's word was clear to these people. God's word is clear tonight. God's word has not changed. In this rebellion, we see that there was a denial of God. We see there was disobedience towards God. But I want also to see this idolatry. There was a devaluation of God. A devaluation of God. Because what did they do? What did they make? Someone, and as they thought, in the image of God? No. They made a golden calf, a cow. They devalued God to the level of an animal. They devalued the glory of God. They devalued the majesty of God. They devalued the uniqueness of God, the superiority of God. They devalued God, and all they thought of God as being was a cow, a beast of the field. You see, folks, whenever you reject the word of God, there's no knowing where that will take you. Low views of God. And you devalue the importance of God. You devalue the character of God. And you bring God down to a level he is not at. Notice how this devaluation continued into verse 5. They had just made the molten calf, the golden calf in verse 4. And in verse 5, "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And said, tomorrow is a feast day to the Lord." Well, the next day was a feast day, actually, a holy day. But they were compromising the holiness of God with the worldliness of man. Truth and error coming together. A little bit of God and a little bit of the world. Isn't that what the church is doing today? A little bit of God and a little bit of this world, and sure, we'll all be happy together. Is that what you want tonight? In this meeting, is that what you want? Just a little bit of God, enough to make you feel good. But you still want the world. You still want to have that association with the world, those ties with the world. You want to have a form of religion, show of Christianity, but a heart that's far from God. There's a devaluation of God. There's a denial of God. There's a disobedience towards God. But we see as well this idolatry. There's a departure from God. Verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. They have dishonored God by making this golden calf. They have defied God by their hardness of heart. They have turned away from God. Is that you tonight? Turning away from God. Wanting to have something of God, but not wanting to have everything. And as a result of this idolatry, this departure, this devaluation, this denial, this disobedience, God pronounces his judgment. Look what he says, verse 10. Now, therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them. Oh, this is not the God that people want to think about today. This is not the God that they're so many have in their own minds, in their own imaginations. This is not the God of love. What is the overriding, overarching attribute, characteristic of God? It's his holiness, his justice. God is a God of justice who is angry with the wicked every day. You see, this departure, this denial, this disobedience, this devaluation, it didn't bring glory to God. It didn't please God. Consider tonight in this meeting, God is not pleased with your folly. God is angry. The idolatry of the people. We see not only the idolatry of the people, but we see now the intercession of the prophet. Because in verse number 11 we read, And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, You see, God's wrath is real. And as God speaks to Moses and God says what he's going to do and reveals to Moses what's taking place down at the bottom of the mountain, Moses then pleads with God on the behalf of the people. He pleads for mercy. He pleads for grace, that his anger might be turned away. Look at verse 11. Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? He's pleading for God on the behalf of the sinner. What a wonderful picture there of Moses as Christ. Christ who is the intercessor. Christ who is the perfect mediator. Christ who came to bring and to reconcile sinful man and a holy God. Here is Moses the mediator. Here is Moses the representative. Here is Moses the intercessor. Notice this intercession, it was earnest, verse 11. Moses besought the Lord. It talks about earnestness. He was pleading for mercy. And as we think tonight of Moses as being a type of Christ, what a wonderful picture is presented for us there. Christ who earnestly pleaded for sinners that the wrath of God might be turned away. We read in the book of Hebrews, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and strong cryings and tears unto him. While Christ was on the cross, he was praying for us, pleading for the Father, for us. He pleaded for sinners on the cross, that for his sake they might be forgiven. He besought the Father that for his sake, on the merits and the work of his cross work, on the value of his precious blood that was shed, that the sinner might be spared the damnation and the wrath of God. Sinner, tonight on the cross, Christ pleaded before the Father that his sacrifice, that his work of atonement might be accepted, and that God's wrath for your sin would be turned away. You see, Moses stood in the gap between God and the sinner. Moses stood in the gap between the idolatry of the people and the wrath of God. And Christ, as our mediator, stood in that gap, but in a far greater way that Moses could never do. Christ took that wrath. Christ endured the wrath of God that we might be saved. During those hours of darkness, when the Father turned his face away from his Son, and for your sin, for my sin, the penalty, the wrath of God poured out upon Christ, we might be saved. He pleaded. This intercession, it was earnest. We see as well at the end of verse 12 that it was extensive. The end of verse 12, he says, turn from thy fierce wrath. God, turn your anger away towards these people. Notice very carefully, Moses did not charge God with unfairness or unjust anger. He acknowledged that God was just in what he was doing. He acknowledged that his wrath was right and proper. But he pleaded on the basis of mercy. Sinner, tonight, God is just in his anger toward you. We've all broken the law of God. We've all departed from God. We've all gone our own way. His anger is just, but on the basis of mercy, there is a way that that wrath can be turned away. You look what God said to Moses in verse 10. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee, Moses, I'll make you a great nation, I'll make you a great people. But Moses didn't want his name or his people glorified or uplifted. He humbled himself. He was more concerned with the people than he was for himself. And again, what a wonderful picture of Christ. The one who humbled himself came into this world. He would have been entirely just and right to have stayed in heaven. Never come to this earth, never went to a cross. Christ, on the basis of mercy and grace, came. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? That God's wrath for your sin might be turned away. It was exalting as well, because he pleaded for mercy for God's glory, not for man's glory. Verse 12, he says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? He wanted the Lord to be glorified in this. You see, salvation, the gospel, is for the glory of God, and it's all to the glory of God. Turn from thy fierce wrath. Well, thank God tonight we have an advocate in heaven who tonight is pleading on your behalf on the basis of his work, on the basis of his atonement on the cross, that God's wrath for your sin and mine might be turned away. You're under the wrath of God. You're under the judgment of God. You're under the condemnation of God. But there is a way that wrath can be turned away. And it's only through Christ, the intercessor, the mediator. The one who stood between God and man. The God-man. And finally, we see not only the idolatry of the people, the intercession of the prophet. But thirdly, we notice the immensity of the pardon. We notice just how this intercession of Moses on the behalf of the people was answered. Verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. God's wrath was turned away. Did that mean God changed his mind? Did that mean that God had a second thought? No, no. I'll tell you what it means. You see, when mercy and justice meet, justice is satisfied. God didn't overlook the sins of these people, but for the sake of another, that wrath, that justice was going to be satisfied. And God's not going to overlook your sin. But rather tonight, if you come to Jesus Christ, place your faith and your trust in him, then God's wrath will be satisfied in you, in Christ, and not in you. On the cross, Christ, with one arm, reached to a holy God, with another arm, reached to a sinful man, and reconciled the two that the wrath of God might be turned away. You see, folks, tonight there's only two places where God's wrath will be satisfied. It will either be in Christ's body on the cross, for those who would turn to Christ and be saved, or it will be satisfied in your body in hell if you reject Christ and his gospel. There's mercy tonight. There's pardon tonight. The wrath of God can be turned away, but it'll only be found in It's not in a church. Sinner, if it were not for Christ, you would have no hope. You're a rule breaker, you're a law breaker, but Christ in his death on the cross fulfilled the broken law for you. He endured the pain of the broken law for you. He paid the penalty of the broken law for you. Look in verse 30, and with this I close. Came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. What a picture of Christ. He made an atonement, a once and for all atonement for sin. Christ tonight is the perfect sacrifice for sin. He's the only way your sins can be forgiven. You cannot plead for mercy. You cannot plead for atonement on anything other than Christ and his finished work. Your good works will not be enough. You cannot be forgiven. God's wrath will never be satisfied apart from the work of the cross. Christ came to keep the law. He did that fully. He did that completely. That tonight you may be saved. That tonight that the wrath of God which is abiding on your head because you are a rule breaker by nature, that you might be reconciled to a holy God. For those who break the rules, there's a punishment. But But sadly, many will get away with breaking the rules down here. But one day you'll all stand to give an account as I will. And on that day of judgment, you will need an advocate. You will need someone to plead your cause. Jesus Christ tonight stands to be that advocate, to plead your cause, if only you will but come and trust him tonight for salvation and for mercy. I will make an atonement for sin. Many, many, many years later, after Moses uttered those words, Christ came to make an atonement. Therefore, tonight, where will your sin be punished? Because punished it will be. You come to Christ tonight and your sins have been punished in him on the cross. The wrath of God is turned away. You're redeemed. And you stand complete before him. But you see, tonight you reject the gospel. You turn away from Christ. You want nothing to do with Christ and his gospel. You will stand before God accused and condemned. And for all eternity in hell, you will make atonement for your sin. But that atonement is ongoing. It is continual. It will never stop. Therefore, what is it tonight? Is it Christ for you? The one who satisfied the law of God? The one who met the law of God? Or is it hell for you? Where will you come? Where will you be after? You close your eyes in death. When the death angel comes, has come, it will. Where will you be? In heaven, with Christ, because on earth you accepted Christ, you turned from him. To him, or in hell without him, because you refuse to accept the sacrifice that Christ made. You're a lawbreaker, a rule breaker. But Christ came to keep the law that you might be redeemed and you might go free. He paid the price. Paid the penalty, he endured the punishment. Will you trust him tonight? Will you come to him? That's why.